Praise God. Well, this morning we're going back into our subject again about living a life of faith. Hallelujah. We're covering a lot of things about faith, but you know, we need to understand this is faith is a way you can live. It's a way you can walk. It's, I guess probably when I was a kid, they used to talk a lot about, you don't hear much people say about it, I guess, because people aren't even religious anymore. They're not even religious. People don't care. But, you know, they used to talk about, and they used to use the term, what faith are you? In other words, they were asking what kind of denomination or whatever else. And, you know, really, I understand why these people knew nothing about faith. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what group you belong to. It doesn't have anything to do with faith. Because there's people within every group who some have faith in God and some don't. It don't matter what group you go along into. I've never been in any group. I know people, you know, go out. When I came into the kingdom, a lot of people believe in denominational stuff, the regular Protestant denominations and things, and even Catholicism, and we're coming over into the charismatic move, and those things were going on. But even among those people, I mean, I know people today who are Methodists and Lutherans and stuff that are more spiritual than a lot of the charismatics are. But yet in their groups, they got people that ain't spiritual, but it's across the line. Just because you're affiliated with a group doesn't mean you know a thing about faith or anything about what faith is. Faith's a way of life or the way you live. It's what you do. It's a way of life. You know, you can't believe things. It's just like, you know, down in Washington. People go to Washington, and the majority of men and women who declare themselves as Christians go to Washington. They lay their Christianity down and say, well, you know, we can't do this here. You know, this is different. I'm going to tell you what, if you believe something, it's going to filter into everything in your life. And if it don't, you're a liar. You don't believe it. It'll filter into what you believe is true. Truth you is what you're going to follow. If you believe something is truth, that's what you're going to follow. If you believe it's true. If you don't follow it, I'll tell you what happens. You will quit believing it altogether. And that's what happens. See, people get involved over. If so many people, you know, as you went to church on Sunday, you had your faith there, and then you left church, and then, you know, then you'd hear the sayings that they use today. Now, this is the real world. Well, any Christian that thinks like that, I know this, they're going to be a 100% failure as a Christian. They're going to be a 100%. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't got Christianity working in what they call the real world today, you're going to be eaten by the real world. It's going to eat you. And you're just going to become a part of it, and they're going to look at you and they're going to see no difference between you and them. And this is what we have today is going on. And when we're talking about faith, we're using the scriptures from Hebrews. We were looking at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And going down through this, we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but in the opening scripture, the first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we live in a world today of so-called education. And our educated world, you know, says, you know, you don't believe in things you can't see. You know, you have to be able to, everything has to be able to be seen, feel, touched, or taste, or we don't want to believe it. Isn't it amazing? When we were so stupid in a nation and we had faith in God, we did so much better than we did today with all of our technology and all of our stuff. We got all of our stuff and they can't make anything work. They can't make anything work, you know. And, you know, it's just hilarious. I remember Kenneth Hagin some years ago said he looks at these people down in Washington doing stuff, and he said, you know, they're like a bunch of monkeys down there. And I think, my words, if he is alive today and seen what the monkeys are doing now, he would be totally astounded, because they are. They're like a bunch of monkeys. You know, I believe God created man, but I tell you, if I went by what it looks like, I would think, you know what? I think they did come from monkeys. I think man may have, because I think we still got them working down there. I think it's still what's going on down there. Well, you know, they're going along and they're trying things. You know, they're doing the same. You know, we get $1 trillion we threw at our economy. We threw $1 trillion. Just think about $1 trillion we threw at our economy. And here we are today sitting and still nothing but an economic mess, and threw spent $1 trillion at it. And you know, these monkeys, and I'm not talking any Democrat, Republican, it's both sides, dumb as a stick. They want to keep passing laws to throw more money at it. It's like, hold it. The money thing didn't work. I don't think money's the problem. You know, it's like education in America. The kids in America keep getting dumber. They keep getting less educated. You know, I mean, think about this. They just published the thing out. Third world nations are ahead of America. Spend so much less on education. And you know what the answer was when they found out it? Down in Washington, Democrats and Republicans, we need to put more money into education. Dear Lord, we spend more than any nation in the world. And we're like 15 on the list. There's 14 other nations ahead of us. I mean, it's like, dear Lord, you sit down and look at it, and when you read what's... Some of these nations are in Africa. Are ahead of us in testing. And we vote these morons in our school boards and all this stuff. If anybody has a PhD, don't you vote for them in the school board. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll think money fixes everything. That's the way they've been trained. They were taught that. That's how they got their PhDs. They'll just turn around and go, you got to spend more money, you got to spend more money, you got to spend more money. We just got to spend more money. Well, money don't fix things if you haven't noticed. You know, money's a wonderful tool in life. It's nice to have in your pocket, but I learned this a long time ago. It don't fix things. It don't fix things in life. Money, you know, if money would fix problems, America wouldn't have a problem. And we're loaded with it. But there's a life of faith. And we need to understand this. There has to be something to live. Just think about it. If all this earth is and everything that's here, it's only what we see and this is it. There's nothing beyond this physical realm. Now, I've met many people who already have talked like that. They talk, you know, this is just this realm here. This is what we see. This is what you get. Some people believe you die, you just go to nothing. If that was true, then the best thing that happened, we just wipe everybody out in the earth and stop all this stuff, suffering, and just let it go to nothing. If I don't have anything to go to beyond this, why would I want to stay here and just keep going through this? Don't they realize that's why people are committing suicide today? The suicide rate has risen incredibly in the United States. And it's the reason is people think they end it when they kill themselves, it stops. Why? Because they don't believe anything's on the other side. Or they believe over on the other side as I leave here and they're believing what people say. It don't matter what you are here, what you do here, when you go over there, it's all fixed. The Bible don't teach that. I would hate to step over on the other side not knowing. I dealt with it when I worked in the prison system. I dealt with a young man who was suicidal and kept trying to commit suicide. And they asked me to come in and talk with him and sit with him. And I came in and was sitting and talking with him. And he had the idea that if he committed suicide, he'd just be... You know, he'd be ending his misery. And I asked him, well, what's on the other side? What's there? Well, I don't believe there's anything. I said, well, where did you learn that belief at? Who taught you that? I said, do you believe just because you believe that that's true, that that's what's going to happen? Just because you believe it's true. Well, he did. That's what many people sit in churches today who they have their ways of believing that are contrary to what the Bible says about things. And they'll just, why do you believe it? Because that's just the way I believe it. I believe it's like so. I've had people do that to us. People come to me, say, you know, and ask me to help them in a problem, and I'll tell them what the Bible says, and they said, yeah, but I believe it's like this. And I say, well, if you believe it's like that, then have a great time. I see it's working great for you. You got the trouble. You're coming to me and telling me I'm wrong, and I ain't got the trouble. You do. And you say, I believe it's this way. I say, well, where did you get your belief for? Well, I just think it's like that. See, many people don't realize they put themselves in position as God. They're deciding, they think of just because I decide the end's going to be like this, it'll just be like that because I think it. And see, this is where people come on and all their stuff today, a lot of things that people believe. They believe because they like to believe it a certain way. And they're deceived into the fact that things are going to turn out that way because I believe it so. Well, I was glad to find out in my life that there was a guy named Jesus, and he went over on the other side for me and fixed some things, and if I'll trust him, the other side's going to turn out right. But I know this by his own words, it don't turn out right for everybody. For those who want to follow their own, to make up their own religion, to make up their own ways. So we have a choice as to what we're going to follow. And the life of faith is living by this book. Living by faith of what the Word of God says. We're living by faith or walking by faith. We know this from, we've studied, we can't go on to it, but it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it comes. It comes by hearing the Word of God. And we'll find out, we've been teaching about Abraham. Abraham was a man and he heard from God. And you know, Abraham didn't have the Bible in his day. He didn't have that. But we found this out that God did appear to him. God appeared to Abraham and told him to do something. And we were going over in this story about Abraham. God told Abraham to go to a land. And he said, when you go to that land, I'm going to bless you there. He said, I'm going to multiply you over in that place. And he said, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. You know, people today want to have a significant place in life. You know, people are trying to have some kind of significance. One of the great things that I found out that really helped me hugely is, you know, you can have a great significance in life and not have any significance among men. What most people want is most people want self-recognition. They want somebody to recognize them, come and pat them on the back, say to you, you're wonderful and you're great and all this stuff to make you feel good. And that makes you feel good till they turn around and don't like you. And then they come and tell you, you're an idiot, and then you're whining. I was so glad when I got saved because I got recognized by heaven. I got recognized by God. See, I believe what the Bible says. And I found out that I could make significant changes in the earth by walking by faith in God's Word, whether other people know it or not. You know, the Bible says, as Jesus said about believers, ones who would believe on Him, think about this. He said, they are the salt of the earth. Now, we need to understand the culture of the time, what it meant, salt. Salt was used to preserve things. It was used to preserve meats and things like that. They would salt them and things, and salt preserves things. In other words, the believer is going to preserve the earth or preserve people in this earth. He said, Jesus went on to talk, he said, if the salt loses its savor, in other words, it's not salty anymore, it's no good, it's worthless. Well, if it's not, if the salt is not salty, see, we're dealing with a great problem in our nation because most of the church has lost its saltiness and the nation is rotting. That's why. The nation ain't rotting because of Republicans and Democrats. It's rotting because of the church. The church no longer walks by faith. They follow the world. However the world lives, however the world does it, that's how they do it. And so it's rotting out here. God put Abraham in and asked Abraham to follow him. He didn't give him 50 different things to do. He told him, you go over to this land. You just obey me. I'm going to bless you over there in that land. If you'll obey me, I'll bless the entire earth. He says, I'll bless all humanity. All the mankind in the earth is going to be blessed if you'll just do this. Did you ever think about you being a Christian? If you're a salty Christian, you're a blessing in the earth. You're keeping things from rotting. I want you to notice that. Can you sit down and read the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation is how the earth turns out when the Christian leaves. It rots. It turns into a chaotic rot. That's what happens to it. The Christian leaves and it ain't pretty no more. The salt leaves the earth and it ain't nothing but trouble. And so we need to understand this. We're in this earth. This is why the Christian got to get out of this selfish American Christianity. It's about me, my relationship with God. My relationship with God is about walking with Him so I can bless others, so I am a blessing to other people, so I can help others, so I can help keep this nation from rotting, so God still has a voice in the earth. Most of the church world today, God has no say into the earth through most Christians because they won't say what God said. They're afraid somebody's going to make fun of them, somebody's going to talk about them, somebody's going to ridicule them. Go ahead. I've always said, lock me up in jail. We'll start a revival there because I'll preach. I don't care. You can't stop Ed from preaching. It's impossible. You can't do that. Ask Wanda. You can't stop Ed from preaching. He just preaches all the time. And we'll just preach there. I'll tell you, they can't stop it because I'll stop things from rotting. Why? You know, am I great? No. The words of God will keep things from rotting. Amen. It'll work. And that's why we wanted it. So Abraham, this man Abraham, all God says, just go over here and do what I tell you. Just go over to this land. Now we found this out that Abraham had never seen this land before. It's an unseen land to him. So he doesn't know where it's at. He can't go to AAA and get maps. He can't go online and find out about this place and look on the surveys they did about here, whether it's a good place to live or not. God said, you go over there. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, I'm going to tell you, go over there. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, all the nations of the world is going to be blessed because you're going over there. And here's Abraham sitting out here now. You know, that really sounds wonderful, but try to really reason that in your mind. You better get that into your heart before you go, because your mind will try to talk you out of it. I will guarantee you. See, God said to him, you get away from your family and from your relatives. Get out of town. Go over there to that place, and I'm going to do something to you that's going to bless the whole earth. And thank God it did. It's blessed the whole earth. You and I have been blessed just because of that man. But all through the Bible, there's men and women who followed the plan of God that you and I live in blessing today because they walked in the plan of God. They did God's plan, and you and I get to walk in the blessing of it. You and I get to live in the blessing. You and I got to accept Jesus. We got to live in the day when Jesus is Lord. And many of them, that was all something to the future. But they followed God, and the reason that they followed God, and we reap the benefit of it. Hallelujah. Thank God for people who will just walk and follow God. And you can do it too. You can follow God. Well, Abraham, he went out there to that land. He just obeyed God and went to the land. You know, he just had a decision. People say, well, it's hard to walk in faith. Well, in a sense, it's not. It's a choice. Either I'm going to believe something's true or I'm going to believe it's not true. It's just that simple. I'm going to believe it's so or not. It's like I always say. Every person sits down and watches the news and listens to the news or listens to the weather and walks off and quotes what that person said, and they could be lying like crazy and we don't know, but we'll just go off and quote what they say. We just decide to believe what they say. We'll make our plans for tomorrow based on what they said about the weather, about this, about that. And we'll make our plans. And we'll say, oh, faith is hard. And then you'll get the nincompoops that turn around and tell you this faith stuff, you know, this faith and walking in what you can't see. Everybody walks in stuff that they can't see. We receive information all the time. We have never figured out for ourselves. You know, we listen to teachers in school, told us, gave us facts and figures. We don't even know they're true. They're all the time. NASA's telling us stuff about out there in space. My God, they ain't even been there. And I found out every year what they tell us changes, and it was wrong before. But yet people buy it and sell it and do everything else with it. And they tell, this faith stuff is really hard to do. We live by it all the time. We've determined to believe things. We determine. I have determined this. I have determined to believe this book. I have determined to set the words of this book above what anybody else says about anything. And you know what? I've done it, but the whole thing of it is, I've proved it out. This thing works. I have experienced what it does. I have experienced listening to the news and found out in the last 64 years of my life, they get it wrong all the time. They don't know. The weatherman, he's worse than he ever was. But I'll tell you, this book works. I have proved it time and time again. The book works. These words work, so there's a walk or a life of faith. But it's not something terrific at heart. We just decide, am I going to believe this is right or am I going to believe this is right? We make a choice. We make choices all the time, and we have that choice. That's what makes us unique of any beings in the earth. God created us. We have a choice. We have a choice. We can follow God or we can reject what the Bible says about God and go follow. We can follow another religion. God gives a man that choice. But understand this, the word tells us we're going to reap what we sow. In other words, I can't follow the wrong choice and turn around and end up with the right benefit. See, in the earth, that don't work. You know, in the earth, if you don't, you know, go to work, you don't get a paycheck from a place, you know, do you? Now, you can get one from the government if you don't go to work. They'll give you one. You know, just tell them, I don't want to go to work. They'll say, good, we'll just give you a paycheck. But, you know, we live on earth. But what is this? We reap things that we sow. And that's what the Bible teaches. We reap what we sow. And we need to understand everything like that. See, we have a Christianity that is teaching people today that no matter, everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's all right. Everybody's okay. You go live any way you want, and because God loves you. In other words, I must have hated my kids because I did punish them. So according to the world standards, I was an evil, miserable, whatever. But you know, my kids ain't in the welfare line. We taught them to work. We taught them to be responsible for themselves. We taught them things. We didn't teach them that it was the government's job to send you to school and to do everything for you. We didn't teach them that. We taught them, you have a responsibility in life. I used to tell my kids when they were little, Daddy ain't God. He ain't going to be here forever. When Daddy leaves and you don't know how to do it, you're in trouble because there ain't nobody there to help you. So you better learn to do it. I thank God I had parents who straightened me out on some things, you know, who taught me to do things when I didn't want to do things. They didn't ask me to do some stuff. I mean, I'm going to tell you, my dad was a man who only ever spoke to you, told you to do something once. My dad would never, you know, go and sit. My dad was never one of those guys. He wouldn't walk in a store and say, now you stop that or I'm going to give you a spanking. Now you stop that or I'm going to give you a spanking. Now you stop that or I'm going to, now you stop that. My dad would just say, no, that's it. And everybody knew there would never be another thing said. The only thing that would happen after that was called spank. You know what? I was glad my daddy taught me like that. I learned to obey. It's helped me. My daddy, walking right, helped me learn to trust the Word of God. That when words were spoken, you know, people today are worrying about all kinds of things and they just, in life, just keep going doing the same wrong thing. It's just destroying them. But they've been taught to do that. Their parents taught them. Their parents taught them by saying, don't do that, now don't do that, now don't do that, now don't do that, but never do nothing about it. I'm going to tell you, God said He said you will reap what you sow. God will let you have things that you said you wanted, and when you get it, it's going to be the thing you never wanted in your life. And He's going to say, now wouldn't that fun? Now, you want to come over on my side? We'll get this stuff straightened out. See, a lot of people don't, you know, they don't want to know a God like that. I don't believe God's like that. Well, it don't matter. The Bible says He is, so you can believe anything you want. Hallelujah. But I'm going to believe the Bible. This Abraham, he believed this God. And he set a pattern that changed the world. Now, I want to go over to the book of Romans, where we were last week. I want to share some things with you, book of Romans, about Abraham. I love these things that are said here, because really, in Romans, clarifies some things to us about Abraham that we don't see in the Old Covenant. It clarifies some things. Remember, the New Testament is the real. The Old Testament is a type and a shadow. When Christ came, it's the real thing. And so there's revelation that comes out of the New Testament that really brings light to us on some things. And we can understand, I learned how to walk by faith by listening to teaching from Kenneth Hagin on this chapter here, this chapter of the New Testament. I learned some powerful things about how to walk by faith just by listening to these things. This light that came from this, listening about what Abraham did. Hallelujah. Now, verse 13 of chapter 4 of Romans, it says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. In other words, Abraham followed a promise. Now understand, it's different. The law, you need to understand the law. The law was, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. The law was laid out. The law was given, we don't have time to study it and look at it, but the law was given, it tells us in the New Testament, it was given to show man that man through his works could not follow God. See, if the Israel would have paid attention to what God was doing under the law, they would have known that they needed a redeemer. Saying, man, this law is something else, I can't do it. This is what the Lord showed me. One day I was out, this is some years back, I was out going for a run. And I was out running, minding my own business. I used to meditate on scriptures. I'd go out for a run. And I was meditating on some things and running. And the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He said, do you know what the curse of the law is? Well, the first thing that came to my mind, because I had been taught, they say, well, the curse of the law, the curse, really, it does fall under three classes of sickness and disease, poverty, and separation from God. If you go over and read what the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, and go read those through those chapters, what the curse of the law says, in the 28th chapter, read with the curse, any bad thing that could happen, that was under the curse. And the Lord said this, He spoke this, but I, over time I've learned some things about God and how He functions. Number one, if He asks me a question about something, I know this, I don't know the right answer. I know, if I give Him my answer, I will hear wrong. And He asked me the question. I said, well, Lord, and I was running along, and I just said, well, Lord, I said, I must not know, or You wouldn't be talking to me about this. He said, the curse of the law was that you couldn't keep it. And I thought, you know, it's exactly right. All that stuff, why? Men couldn't keep it, so men fell under a curse. Now, we need to understand, Abraham is equated with a different kind of covenant with God. It's a covenant based on promise. That's what ours is. Ours is is based on law. It is based on promise. Abraham, what? He believed God's promise. That's what he did. He didn't do it through works. He didn't try to figure out what he ought to do to please God. He didn't start a new religion. That's what people do today. Many Christians, they're trying to figure out, how am I going to do to please God? You know, I don't have to think 10 minutes of how to please God. Just go read the Bible and say what He says makes Him happy. But see, what people today, I want to do this for God. I had a minister one time tell me a certain thing that he wanted to do for God. And I said, you know, the Bible don't tell you you're supposed to be doing that. He said, but that's what I want to do for God. I said, why do you care? I said, is it because that you want to give God that's going to make Him happy? Did you ever give somebody who knows you probably pretty well and that stuff and just gave you the most stupid gift in the world and you wonder, man, do they really know me at all? Why would they know I wouldn't use this thing for nothing? Do you ever know? Do you ever watch that? You know, there's a lot of people around here. You know, it's one thing I learned learning to know God is over the years, I didn't start off knowing everything, surely. I mean, I still don't know a lot of things. But there's many things I learned, things that please God, that make Him happy. And if I wanted to do something for Him, I want to find out if it'd be the thing that really made Him happy. Not the thing that I want to give Him. What I want to do. We don't need another religion. We got enough of them. And Christians are always trying to start new ones. They're always trying to make up another thing. We don't need to make anything up. The book tells us the things that He likes and He don't like. And you know what He likes? The Bible said, we read in the sixth, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He didn't say without doing good works you can't please Him. He said without faith it's impossible to please God. Many people are going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and what he's going to tell them is, you didn't do anything for me. And they're going to say, well, look at all this stuff I did. I did this, I did. He'd say, no, you did all them works. You trying to buy your way here. You can't buy your way here. It's by obeying His word, believing what His word says, and just walking in the light of the word. That's what He wants. You know what I like about God's tests? They ain't hard because they're always open book tests. You can all just go to the book and find out what He wants. Go to the book, will tell you things about Him. What pleases Him. I found out that faith pleases Him. I found out this. Sometimes my works don't please Him. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I do some dumb things. And I think, my God, I knew better than that. Why'd I do that? And you know what? By faith, I can get it cleaned up in 2 seconds and God don't remember it no more. We can confess our sin. He's faithful just to forgive and to wipe out my stupidity. And never remember it again. Never remember it again. See, I like the faith side of this thing. You know, here's the works Christian. The works Christian sins and says, you know what, God, I'm going to set myself to do better. And because I did this bad thing, I'm going to do this other good thing for you. You know what? That's like taking Jesus, just slapping Him in the face and saying, you know, who needs you? You can't make it up to God through works. We do it by faith. We always do it by faith. You take the blood of Jesus and say, dear Lord, Lord, He said, if I confess my sin. He didn't say, if you confess, do all these different things, read the Bible, I'll read the Bible every day, I'll pray every day, then I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He didn't say that, did He? But here's one thing about it. It'd be good to read the Bible because you'd have some faith to believe that He would cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You want to come to place. But you know, I found this out. You know, over the years, you know, I've learned the areas, especially in the areas of healing, I've learned how to get a hold of it quick. And the reason I did learn how to get a hold of it quick, because I've learned the principles of faith. And I learned to stop the principles of works, of trying to approach God or get from God based on works, based on doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, is turn around and just getting a hold of God and taking Jesus Christ as my healer and saying, yes, I've messed up at times, but all I got to do is confess my sin. And He'll fit, and that's under the blood, so I can stand before Him righteously and claim whatever it is that I need. And I've learned to do that. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're trying to approach God on the basis of your works, you're in trouble. The law won't get it. We found this out. This work stuff is going to bring wrath. I don't know about you. I don't need no more wrath. I've had enough wrath. I've had enough trouble. I don't need to invite more to my house. Do you? So, well, we want to go over in this area of faith. Now, verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to what? Grace. Now, when we talk about grace, people use the term God's unmerited favor, and that's true. But also grace, if you study it out through the New Testament, grace deals with God's ability that works on your behalf. In other words, Abraham is going to receive something from God through faith. So the grace of God, God's ability will bring it to pass. Why? Your ability? You ain't got the ability to bring it past. When you and I got born again, you had no ability to save you. You had zero ability to save you. It was grace or God's ability, it was God's power that worked on your behalf in spite of you. That gave you something that you did not deserve, you did not earn. How many of you worked hard to get saved? Did you work real hard at it? I mean, labored at it, then one day, you know, you get saved. I was born and raised in a church, and they would send people to the altar, and they'd go up there for weeks and months on ends and pray and try, what they called praying through to get saved. And, but look, religion's always trying to, if I really show God that I'm really sincere, then He'll save me, you know. If I just do enough of the works, and then He'll just be, oh, isn't He wonderful, that little turkey down there, He come up, He really likes me. And no, God is just waiting for somebody to simply by faith approach Him. I'll never forget this because, see, my mom and them were trained in this, and I'm not talking disparagingly of her, but I'll never forget this. We went to a church. I couldn't have been no bigger than that. And we went to a church, and a guy was in that church. This guy called people up for salvation, and he had them pray a prayer of salvation, accepting Jesus Christ, and he prayed with them, had them pray a prayer, make a confession of faith. And I'll never forget, my mom said, you can't get saved that easy. But I understand what she was taught. She was taught the other thing. Hey, don't worry. I'm going to tell you. You guys all sitting here got friends that ain't got no more sense than that. And they're sitting around to you and you tell them you think they're wonderful Christians and they're idiots. They don't know no more about walking by faith. And they're always trying to work to please God. Always trying to work. See, we got to break free from this thing. This laborious thing. We approach God by faith, and we walked in just by faith and just asked for it, and by grace, He gave it to us. He gave it because of He merited it. He gave it to us. You and I didn't merit salvation. He gave it to, He wanted, and He gave it to you. Jesus didn't need saving. There's nothing He needed saving from. You and I needed saving. He earned it, so it was by grace. So why, listen, so what? That the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Abraham is a picture of the church. He's a picture of faith and not law. He's a picture of a man who believed God. Why is it by faith? Why does God use faith? Because faith is not based upon intellect. It's not based upon the works of man. I tell you, get the simplest person not understanding much and not having much mentality can turn around and accept Jesus and get born again. They don't need to go to school. They don't need, you know, I always see these people that they're always trying to teach people into getting saved. You know, it's like, my God. If you just would believe, well, the whole thing is that the people are doing the teaching, they're trying to do to get the person to intellectually grab a hold of it. See, today, most preaching's to the heads of men rather than to the hearts of men. And the reason I know that it is because so little word is used. It's the words of men rather than the words of God. And we want to know this. This thing was given. It was given, what? Not just, it wasn't just about Abraham. It was about you and I, and it was given to everybody. Just think out here. It was given so people didn't have to work for this. God would make promise, and all we had to do was believe the promise. All you have to do, think about that. That's astonishing. Today, we're trying to work through things and trying to do stuff. God gives you a promise. Believe the promise. You know, you can take a little kid. I mean, he can determine whether he wants to believe whether what you say is true or not. We don't have to send him to 15 years of college and put so much unbelief in him that after a while he couldn't believe nothing. You know, and that's what happened to people today. They can't believe a thing. You know, we are living in a world of skeptics. They're skeptical of everything. To me, it is so wonderful, Christianity, because I'm over in a place of truth. Hallelujah. I know things. There's things in this world that I found out are true. And I have a place of truth. This is one of the great problems we have. There's no truth out there. Many Christians are walking and living like there's no truth. We come over to this place, the promise. It's about truth. What God promised, He said He would do. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. So Abraham is what? He's called the father of us all. Just think about this. Now this is, the Apostle Paul wrote this. And Abraham is the father of us all, he says. Abraham is the picture of a man of faith. That's what he's a picture of. And he's the picture that the Bible is given for all people of all time to look at. To look at this man, what he did. He didn't attend any seminaries. He didn't attend any Bible schools. He didn't go to any of those places, and he followed God. I'm sorry to say, I know people went to schools and they ended up worse off than what they were if they wouldn't have went. They had more faith in God before they went to a cemetery or a seminary and went there to listen to somebody talk them out of God. When I first got saved, I had more people tried to talk me out of following God. And they were all Christians. I know the world trying to tell me, once I got saved, the world wouldn't even pay no attention to me. But Christians, well, now you're getting over there in extreme. You just believe this and that, you know. God will help you, but He ain't going to, you know. My words, He's going to want to hit you with lightning once in a while, you know. He's going to want to slap you down some, you know. You get over there in that crazy thing thinking He wants to bless you all the time. You don't want to go too far out. You're getting way out there, you know. You're getting out there too far. I found out one thing about my parents. My parents would straighten me out in my punishment, but my parents' perfect will was always to bless my life. My parents' perfect will for me. I never walked in their perfect will. That was my fault. That wasn't there. Their desire, if I would have followed their perfect will, I'd have had a lot more blessing than I got. But I didn't always follow the perfect will. But they didn't change. My parents weren't out to hurt me. I mean, we have today, people say, well, you know, I love God. And God will make you sick sometimes. Well, look at your mind. If a parent out here today makes their children sick, do we reward them? Do we say, that's a great parent? Oh, well, God has His reasons. What do you mean God has His reasons? If God is not a God who says, you know, I do anything I want, but you got to do everything I tell you. And then He lives a different life. God wants you to live His life. If God's making people sick, then it's your job to make people sick. Well, I know that's not true because when Jesus left, He said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We never see in the ministry, it says Jesus revealed God's plan or God's will to men. That's what Jesus did when He was in the earth. We see the Father. Jesus said, when you see me, we see the Father. Jesus never made one person sick. He never told one sick person, I'm sorry, it's God's will for you to be sick so you can't be healed. Never happened one time. Never happened one time. Never took place one time. Either Jesus was the picture of God or He's the biggest liar and fraud there ever was. We have to decide, which side are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the side calling Jesus the one that makes people sick? God's killing them and Jesus is trying to get them straightened out. But you know, you can't, his dad's a schizo, you know. His dad's up there drinking and doing drugs and he gets weird and you got to watch him. He goes crazy at times. The angels try to control him best they can. Jesus is trying to straighten up his mess all around, all the time. I'm going to tell you, they don't say that in churches, but folks, that's what's going on. People's minds are confused. We talk about a God, say God is good, God is love, but then talk about Him doing evil. You know, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. There wasn't one person that Jesus healed that the devil hadn't made him sick. And was the church preached today? The church doesn't realize it, but they preach the devil. They preach the devil. Their God, they would say, oh, no, we believe the God of heaven. Well, then why do you preach He's making people sick? Why would you preach that? Because in Jesus' day, that was the devil's job. Jesus' job was to heal them. Today, it's reversed. Today, it's reversed. God's making them sick, and then ministers will stand up, stay away from those people, lay hands on people, because that's the devil. Now God is... God's doing the opposite. God's out here, you know, the devil's healing, God's making them sick. You know, God's keeping... Yeah. Such a weird... And so, we got to follow the Bible. If this is all based upon a promise... based upon grace, it's God's ability. If you begin to understand this, God's grace, we talk about grace as unmerited favor. Is it unmerited favor for somebody to make you sick? Are they being a favor to you? Are they doing you a favor? Well, the church believes so today. Most of the church world believes that. It's all in grace. Grace will make you sick. I found this out a long time. Grace made me well. Grace made me sound and whole. Grace made me see all the stuff that was hurting me and destroying me. Grace allowed me. And then on top of it, that grace, the ability of God, helped me overcome. That grace. And it has not changed. We find out here the promise. It hasn't changed. God didn't turn around and make the promise to Abraham and get out in the middle of it and say, oops, now we're going to change and do this. See, I'm God. I can do anything I want. No, we don't. The promise stands true. Hallelujah. Let's go on and read. Listen to what verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. I want you to understand that. Listen to what God said to Abraham. God didn't say, if you do really great, do good, I'll make you a father of many nations. Now understand this. We're dealing with promise. Listen what is said. Listen what is said. He said, quote, I have made you a father of many nations. The promise of God, you need to understand what the promise is. A promise is a statement of God of what He's done. Now you need to understand, when God said this to Abraham, Abraham didn't have one descendant. But God said, I have. He didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I have. I have made you a father. Now what tense is that? Is that future tense? Is that present tense? No, that's past tense. God, past tense, said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. I've already done it. What was Abraham to believe then? He was to believe that God already did it. This is where most people don't understand about faith today. They're always talking about faith, but trying to get God to do something. God is declaring, I've done it. Do you know, Jesus Christ already saved everybody in the world. He already died and took the sin of every person. Here's the fallacy of the church. The church tells you that you got to confess your sin to get saved. You got to admit you're a sinner to go through all this thing. That isn't what it says. I might be a sinner. It's fine to tell Him, you know, hey, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. But salvation is really past tense. Jesus did all the dying 2,000 years ago, all the resurrection 2,000 years ago that's ever going to be done. Salvation is a complete thing. See, why isn't everybody saved? Because you must receive the promise, just like Abraham had to receive the promise. The word said that Abraham, God said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. In other words, God said, I did it. Abraham, through faith, is agreeing that God did it. Although, what? Remember we read the first, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you got to see it to believe it, you ain't ever going to walk a place of faith. Is the promise true? Abraham believed that God made him the father of many nations. We know he believed it so much, he accepted the name God gave him, Abraham. His parents didn't name him Abraham. They called him Abram. God said, I'm changing your name. I'm changing it to Abraham. It meant a father of a multitude. He took the name and he started calling himself by that name. You need to understand this today is one thing the Lord spoke to me about, and is you need to get a hold of this. The reason many Christians never receive the promise of God, they never declare or call themselves by what the promise says. The sick keep saying, I'm sick. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. What do we do today? The poor says, I'm poor. The weak says, I'm weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. God gave Abraham a name and said, you start calling yourself by this name. And the name is a father of a multitude. Abraham is walking around with no kids, calling himself a father of a multitude. Why? Because he believes God has made him the father of many nations. He's believing the promise. Now, I'll guarantee you, he had the people just like we have today. The multitude of people who call themselves believers will stand around you and say, how can you say, I don't see anything. You still got the same problem you always had. You still got, why? All they do is walk by what they see. Until you confess the promise as yours and declare that you have it, you have not come to a place of faith yet. Abraham, God got Abraham to begin to walk around and calling himself and would get, Sarah, this is my new name. If you want to talk to this boy, you got to call him by this name. He goes out to his servants. Excuse me, guys. My name is Abraham. And I'll guarantee you, I bet there was some snickering going on. And they're saying, oh, that flaky guy is calling himself the father of a multitude. Oh, my God. He's old. His mama can't, his old woman, she ain't got nothing going for her anymore. She's finished. And he's walking around out here talking about, don't say it when he's looking. I'm sure he didn't go out there and say, would you guys please agree with me? Sometimes that's the worst thing you can do is go ask other Christians to agree with you. People can't really walk in faith. You don't be asking them to agree with you because they'll be walking around saying contrary. You tell them what you're believing for and after a while they're making fun of you. You need to know you don't go do that stuff except with people of faith, people who know how to walk in faith. You don't just get anybody to still go call, pray for you. That could be dangerous. So we find here, he said, I've made you the father of many nations. It says, in the presence of him whom he believed, this Abraham, in the presence of one he believed, Abraham believed, what is God? What? This God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. What does God do? What did he do with Abraham? He called something that existed that did not exist. God said it exists. God says, you're the father of many nations. God said it exists. People will sit and tell you, no, it don't. Oh, not till you see it happen. Then you see it happen, then it exists. Then when you see it happen, then you go around and tell people it's so. That isn't what God does. That isn't how faith works. Faith calls things that don't exist as though they do. That's why he said, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. What are you calling yourself rich for? You ain't got two nickels to rub together. What's wrong with you, you crazy fool? Something matter with your mind, boy? I'm going to tell you, keep calling yourself poor and you're going to die that way. As long as you believe you're on the bottom of the pile, you ain't going to do much to get out from under that bottom. When you start to believe you're something else, it's one thing God put in me. I was on the bottom of the pile and God taught me how to talk my way out of the bottom of the pile. Till I got to see where I was worth something, not because somebody patted me on the back, somebody said something. I talked myself into it by saying the right things. That's why I always tell people, you got to be your own best cheerleader. If you're waiting for somebody else to always come and pat you on the back, you're going to live on the bottom. You've got to learn to be your own cheerleader. Say the right things. If they call you an idiot, you stand up and tell, hey, I have good sense. I got wisdom from God. I've been asking and praying for God for wisdom, but I still just don't know what to do. Well, quit praying, you idiot. You're out there talking. He didn't give it to you. The Bible says if you ask for wisdom, he gives it to you. And he gives it liberally. So you walk around and say, bless God, I got wisdom. God gives me wisdom. I don't care if it looks like I don't know nothing. But God gives me wisdom. Hallelujah. But see, people walk around, talk opposite of what the Word says, and then talk about faith ain't got a clue what faith means. Hallelujah. God says if I ask, He gives it liberally, so He gave it liberally to me. Hallelujah. I got wisdom. People say, what is? I don't know what it is yet, but it's mine. I got it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, well, come to me. Many times I've walked around and talked and said things concerning wisdom. Didn't seem like I was getting any closer to it. All of a sudden, one day the light come on and I saw it. Wow, I saw it. See, I found out. This is how you get a hold of things. So many people say, I study the Word, I don't get nothing out of it. Why? Just what you said. You study the Word, you don't get nothing out of it. I'll tell you, that book is light to me. When I look into that, things jump off of it in my face. And you know what? It didn't start that way, but I started talking right about it. And I'll tell you, today, I'd never open the book without a revelation. Hallelujah. Because I believe that book was written for Ed. If it wasn't written for anybody else, it was written for me. Abraham's my daddy. He's a father of faith, and Ed's a faith man. I understand this faith stuff. Hallelujah. Surely I'm growing in it, and I need to. But I tell you, I got the foundation of it down. Hallelujah. I figured it out. Going to that book and light coming. Hallelujah. God's the light giver. And if you'll just keep going to the book and looking at the light, because we want to go on to here. I want to quick read you some things here in closing, because we've got to look at this. Listen to what Abraham it says. Verse 18. Who contrary to hope, he was contrary to hope, and he says, and hope believed, that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now listen to what it says. And contrary to hope, in other words, contrary to what naturally is going on, he had a hope, but what was his hope in? It's where your hope has to be, in the promise of God. See, contrary to natural hope. Look, you go out here today and there's all kinds of things going on. Our nation looks hopeless. You better have something to stand on other than what's going on in our nation, or you'll become as hopeless as our nation. It says, what in hope he believed. He believed. So that what? He became the father. He became exactly what God said he was. Hallelujah. You know, you want to become a devout Christian? Start calling yourself a believer. Start calling yourself, you know. I get people come along and tell you about, oh, I just have trouble believing, and I know where it is, but I just have trouble believing and that stuff. I'll never say those things about me. The Bible calls me a believer. That's who and what I am. Why would I call myself a doubter or an unbeliever or blah, 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 and say all this nutty stuff? What would you do that for? God said I'm a believer. I'm going to say, if God called me that, I don't care what anybody else calls me. I'm a believer. He gave me the name, and I'm going to call myself by the name. It is totally natural for me to believe. I'm like my daddy. My heavenly father, he's not a doubter. And I got the same genes as my heavenly father. And my genes are to be a believer. That's what they are. That's what I mean. And know what? I believe easily. I'll tell you, you have a hard time trying to get me to doubt. Years ago, you might have not had that much trouble. But I've learned enough about faith today that I'll tell you what. You can't, I'll tell you, trying to get me in doubt, you're going to have to fight a fight. It's going to take you a long time because I can persevere. Hallelujah. But you're a believer. That's what you are. Hallelujah. People call themselves by many things. You know, people go around telling everybody they're a Christian. They'd be better off telling them they're believing. Somebody might ask you what you're believing. You might have a chance to tell people what you believe. Being a Christian, you can be a Christian and the biggest doubter and have less faith than the sinner's got. And it would do you better to call yourself a believer. Hallelujah. Because what will help you turn into one? After a while, you'll start believing you're a believer and you won't talk all that doubt stuff. Hallelujah. That's what I'm a believer. You know, in fact, if you look in the New Testament, that was the big thing. They called each other believers. It was the world that called them Christians. It wasn't the believers. The world gave them that name. It wasn't the believers. The world gave them the name Christian. And the church has done nothing but follow the world. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow, Ed. Verse 19. Now listen to this. Here's where I want to talk to you about, because here is the... I'm going to tell you the key of what some of you's problems been in areas. Why you haven't overcome in areas. I'm going to show it to you right here. I learned this. I didn't dream this one up myself. It wasn't my special revelation. I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin. He taught me the scripture. When I saw it, I thought, wow, I got her. I got it. I can see it. Listen, verse 19. And not being weak in faith... Look, not being weak in faith. Now listen to this. Abraham wasn't weak in faith. In other words, you can be weak in faith, can't you? But it said he wasn't. You go through the Bible. The Bible talks about people who are weak in faith. The New Testament talks about people who have shipwrecked faith. It talks about different, uses those topics. Here he says, Abraham was not weak in faith. And I want to tell you how. Now, there can be a number of different reasons why people are weak in faith. Sometimes people just don't know scripturally enough to really stand strong in faith. They don't understand it. And when I first started off, I stand a whole lot different than I used to, you know. But I walked in faith, and I many times walked in faith in a very weak level because of what I knew. But I'm just going to tell you this. Most people, here's what they're dealing with most of the time is why they're having a hard time in the areas of faith. This one says, he wasn't weak in faith. Why? He did not consider his own body. Already dead since it was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. What didn't he consider? He didn't consider what he saw. I'm going to tell you, that's the great faith battle right there. That's what you're going to face 99% of the time. Your battle is because what you see is opposite of what you say you believe. If you're going to stay strong in faith, you're going to have to quit playing all the side time to what you see and feel. That can't be the strong part. See, people get over and that becomes the strong part. What they see and feel becomes the thing that they always, that's what they're always pampering and playing to. They're always playing to that side. Here it says, he didn't consider it. He did not consider his own body. It's a 100-year-old man. And I always say to people this, Abraham had to be a believer to have kids because this old 100-year-old, about 100-year-old man is taking a woman to bed who's 90 years old and trying to produce kids. Most Christians, and this is why most Christians can't get things worked. They never believe the word. They only believe what they see. The doctor says you shouldn't have a kid after 60. Well, surely we would never do that. We would never have a child after that because the doctor said. The only thing we consider is what the natural. Look, the world is dictating most people's faith. The world's dictating. We run to our doctors, and if they say anything, we treat them like God, bow to them, do anything that they want. If the Bible says something different, too bad. The doctor said. Now, I'm not against doctors. But you know how you have to know how to handle things because if a doctor is going to give you a report that ain't good, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw God out because he gave you a bad report? Because he told you something? He told you you ain't going to make it? I've watched people do that. I've always used a story. You know, a woman years ago used to go to our church years back. And she had liver cancer. And I watched her stand in faith, and I watched that woman go through a thing, and she was getting better and better and better. The doctors were astounded. And on one doctor's report, she died. One doctor's report. One Sunday morning, I was standing up front at the pulpit. Church hasn't even started. I was standing up front. She walked in the door of the back, and when I looked down at her, the Spirit of God said to me, she got a bad report from the doctor and now she's going to die. She's believed it. And I couldn't get her off of it. And the port wasn't even something really severe. It was just the fact that some of her blood levels had changed and went over, you know, the bad side a little bit. But she had been improving. All she got is one bad report and she quit. She had fought this thing and was coming back. But she couldn't talk her pastor. See, she got this thing in here. The doctor's reports were more important than the promise. She was always seeing these good reports, and now she saw a bad report, and it threw her. She threw her faith out. Her faith was working the whole time. It was working the whole time, but she threw it out. And I ended up having to do her funeral. Couldn't change it. The Lord spoke to me and told me, I've tried these things. I've learned over time. You know, but, you know, you want to change. You just don't want to see that going. You just don't want to see that happen. You know, she wasn't supposed to be dying. She was supposed to be living. But what happened? She got over and started to look at what she saw. I'll guarantee you this. Her doctor probably wasn't as concerned about that report as she got. You better have faith when you go to the doctor. Because some people think, oh, it's easier to go to the doctor than staying with God. No, it's not. Because you're going to deal with things you hear. I always tell people this, you know, you go to your doctor. You go there. You got to learn to say, you know, he's telling you what he finds. You know, I don't think that they're out there deliberately trying to kill you, which I'm sure there's some idiots out here that, you know, are doing crazy things. But the whole thing of it is, they're not. But they're telling you what they find. You ain't got no business going to them if you don't want to hear a bad report. Did you expect to be feeling lousy and get down there and tell them to tell you, oh, this is wonderful, you'll like this for the rest of your life. It's great. Is that what you wanted to hear? Why did you go? See, people are really strange. If I go to a doctor and he tells me there's such a problem, he might say, well, you're going to have this problem for the rest of your life, or you're going to have this or that. Well, see, he's telling me what he knows on the basis of his information is. That don't matter to me. I got more information. Amen. I got other information. Now, I'm not going to get mad at him over the deal. You know, I've never had a doctor get mad because I got well. I've never had one get mad. Now, there are idiots out here. I know a woman got healed of cancer, and her doctor told her, she went back, told her doctor she healed. They checked her out, found out she's completely healed of cancer, and they told her they had given her like 3 or 4 months to live. She got completely healed. Her stupid doctor, some poor guy up at the medical center here that was educated above his intelligence, told her, you don't need God, you need a good doctor. And I told her, I said, you should have said to him, why didn't you send me to one before I came to you? Because you weren't able to heal me, so you couldn't have been the good doctor, could you? You're the guy who told me I'm dead. And don't take it that all of them are like that, because I tell you what, I've been up the medical center, I've been in their intensive care unit, and I've had the doctors tell me, you know, we've done whatever we can do. You need to pray, and we don't know what else to do. We've done everything. I've had them do that for me. But you'll find an idiot in every crowd. There's always an idiot somewhere. But you got to understand that when the idiot speaks, you better know how to handle it. Most people can't handle anything. They can't handle stuff. As soon as they hear something for the negative stuff, I heard people say, well, I went to the doctor and he just talked negative. Well, what'd you think was going to happen there? He's going to tell you you're of great help and you're just throwing up every day because you're just so healthy. You know, he's going to tell you what, you know, you got to learn to walk by faith. Abraham didn't consider his promise. He didn't consider, he looked over at his wife. He didn't look over there and say, dear Lord, God, maybe if you give me a young chick, we could do something here. Yeah. Did he? Abraham looked and said, God said, we're going to have a kid. We're having a kid. God said, we're having one. We're having one. Do you know, we read the thing. He says the promise wasn't just to Abraham. Those Christians, I'll tell you what, I can stand on Abraham's promises. Hallelujah. If people believe people want to have kids, they can have kids. I don't care what the doctor says. The promise stands. Is the church keeps delegating everything to time. Oh, that was back then. This is back then. I'm going to tell you what, those promises are everything today that they were back then. They will do everything today that they would do back in that time. Hallelujah. God got a nation of people in the earth that's called Christians. They're supposed to be propagating. Last I heard, it's a curse not to. I know that don't fit the American Christian culture. But I've read that dumb book. I've read about the curse. Now, I don't want anybody getting over and get, but see, the way we're taught today and what we're taught, we aren't taught scripturally about things. We're taught man's ideas, man's ways, man's things. We're taught these things. And folks, it diminishes people's faith and people are weak in faith. And this is why we got to get back to the Word of God. Find out what God said. I don't care what the American culture is. I don't care what Christianity in America today has become. It can be what he wants. I'm a believer. I don't know what this Christian stuff is anymore. I don't have a clue. It's become some kind of weird religious junk. I don't care. It's about the book. It isn't about Ed. It's about God's word. It's whether his word works. It's not about me or me being some group or whatever. It's about what his word says. It's about being in his family. I'm in the right family. God lives in me. The church and their effort today to search for God. What are we looking for God for? He already moved in. Dear Lord, I'm not searching for God. He lives in me. I know where he's at. I got his address. Dear Lord, The book told me, oh, we're trying to just get through to God. And, dear Lord, all this crazy thinking going on here. And you know what's caused? Because the church has bought what the world said, and we're like the world. We're coming and trying to appease our gods, and comes and brings our offerings and throw our offerings before God to try to appease Him. So He'll talk to us, all in unbelief. We're trying, you know, in our giving, trying to give based on the thing. If I just give a lot, I can finally get Him to give me something. I'm going to tell you, He already said I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. My God, He'll give me anything I want. But it's on the basis of faith. I can't buy nothing out of God. I give money because I love to give. Because there's love been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I love to give money. And I love to give other stuff. Hallelujah. I'm in the giving business. And how did I get there? God made me that. I didn't make me that. God made it, came by grace through faith. Hallelujah. I became what He said. Woo! The promise is true. Woo! I don't have to try to work it up. It's already in me. Wahoo! Glory to God. That's the wonderful part of this whole thing, folks. We've been working and laboring. And boy, they've been trying to do it. From the TV preachers down, they've been just trying to get us to work this thing out. They've been trying to get us to work, get this thing going. I'm going to tell you what, the work part ain't hard once you got the believing in you. You can do the works of faith. Hallelujah. But they're putting the works first. The works first. The works first. And the faith is left behind. Nothing ever changes. Hallelujah. And it's coming back to the place of faith, of calling yourself what God calls you. God calls you blessed. My God, you are blessed. You believed on Jesus Christ. My God, are you blessed? You're a child of God. God came and moved into you. Can you imagine? Everybody's trying to get to run into God somewhere, and all we did in our just humble stupidity, accepted what the Bible said, and God moved in. God's inside of you. Woo! The glory that's in you. The church is in a search for glory. I'm going to tell you, you look at the guy who's living in you, knock your socks off. There's more glory than you can stand. Why? People say, well, why doesn't He respond? Why does He do things? Because people don't act like God's living in them. They're acting like they're trying to get in touch with Him. They're trying to do all, writing books about how you get in touch with God. I can tell you, it's the simplest thing in the world. I did it the first night I got saved. Got in touch with Him. He moved in. I saw what the Bible said, and I was so stupid I believed it. I was so dumb, I just thought it was true. I thought God moved in. So I walked around and started talking it, and I found out, boy, most Christians don't believe this stuff. They talk about God in you, but you really talk like He's in you, talks to you and stuff. Man, they want to ship you out someplace. I like what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, God, the Holy Ghost in you is not a spiritual hitchhiker. He's not just along for some ride. No, He's in there living. He's in there to teach you, guide you, and lead you into all the truth. Take all that Jesus has and reveal it to you. That's what the Bible says. That's what He's into you for. So when you look at the scripture and James said, God would give you wisdom, well, sure enough, the Holy Ghost, He put Him in you for that express purpose to make you a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a genius. You've got the genius living in you. You don't have to Google God. Dear Lord, God moved in. He'll talk to you directly. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I just get excited. I go on about this stuff. I get so excited about it. And I hope you do too. Get excited about it. People want revival today. I'm going to tell you what. Run into the God that's in you. You'll get revived. He's like gasoline to a fire. You run into Him, you'll catch on fire. Dear Lord, you'll get burning up. And they can't put it out. I'm sorry. They'll try to. Don't worry. There's always, like Kenneth Hagin said, don't worry. He's telling us, don't worry about a little wildfire. He said, there's always enough wet blankets to put it out. Because you got in the church world today, there ain't nothing but stacks of wet blankets. People out here trying to put the fire out. But I didn't know. I ain't mad at them. They don't know. They don't know. But I tell you, I'm just going to burn. I'm just going to burn. I'm just going to preach this crazy stuff and let them tell me I'm an idiot. I don't care. Tell me I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I've been living this thing for 34 years and it's working. If I'm crazy, let me alone. You know, I had the flu in 34 years. 34, I want you to think about this. 34 years, an absolutely phenomenal thing. 34 years, never had a shot for it, never had anything done like that. 34 years living over in this thing. It works, folks. Now, you know what? Some people, now you got to be realistic. This is as realistic as I'm getting because this thing's working. What do I want to go to something lesser for? I don't want to go to something. People keep trying to take me to something lesser. There's always people trying to take you to go to something lesser. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. I don't know Mo better. I am deranged. I have been brainwashed by that book and I'm no good no more. Hallelujah. I'm only good to believe in God. I can't. That's all it is. My mind is done burn up on this thing. Hallelujah. And that's all I got. They can't talk sense to me anymore. Hallelujah. And I don't want them to talk. So they can talk. But I've learned over time they can just talk and they just say whatever they want and I just go on and believe God. Hallelujah. And you know what? I pray for them and believe that their eyes will be opened and they'll see too. Because why? Because God has blessed them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place too. And they're His children. And I tell you what, He longs for them to see it. I'll tell you, I believe Jesus weeps over the church because of the ignorance in the church. He weeps over it because all the good things He's provided and they're just walking on past it. And His children, He wants to bless His children. You know how it is when a parent got troubles with a child and the child's all messed up? A parent works and works, does everything, tries to help that child and help the child back on its feet. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes what they do, you can't do much about it. You've got to let them go. But I'll tell you, it don't make it no easier, does it? Do you think it's easy on Jesus looking into the Church of America today and see where it's gone from in the 80s to where it's gone today? I'll guarantee you. He ain't up there, let's smack him with lightning and kill them all. He weeps over it's His church. It's His people. Hallelujah. Praise God. The best thing you can do, and I just encourage you, the best thing you can do for anybody is not just go preach to them, but you live this thing. You live the life of faith. You start walking by faith. Let them see the glory of God. Let them see that this stuff works. Let them see that we're living in a nation where people are done wrung out, wore out, fearful, you know, under anxiety, taking more medications than you can shake a stick at. They want to see somebody who's not worried and fearful, somebody who knows where they're going, somebody who has a hope in something. Not this political hope, you know, we're talking about. Hope and change. Yes, we had hope and change for the worst. Now it's time that we bring the Bible forth and let them see that hope in us. We shouldn't be wringing our hands about what Washington's doing. We should be praying and say, God, save those poor people from themselves because they're on a road to destruction. Jesus died for all them folk down there, people. He didn't die so they just wander off to hell and He didn't care. But the church needs to come back and start living like the church. It ain't enough. I'll tell you what. We have the politicians have their voices out here, and many politicians are telling us right things, but they're not doing right things, so people quit paying attention. That's the same thing the church did. The church watches people tell them how good God is, and they live like He's not good. They don't live anything above what the world has. They don't get it any better than the world gets it. The sinners next door to them have as good or better lives than they got. I know we're stepping on toes, but that's what we need to do. My toes need stepped on. I need to change. I need to become something different. Hallelujah. This word of God needs to change this boy. And it needs to change you. And I'll tell you, I want to be changed. Amen? Amen. Do you want to be changed? Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We're going to be changed, folks.